This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Purcell. Hiking the Appalachian Trail from one end to the other in a straight stretch is a challenge, even with today's high-tech camping and outdoor equipment. The first woman who thru-hiked the trail did it in sneakers, while carrying an umbrella and a denim sack she made. Grandma Gatewood's Walk, the inspiring story of the woman who saved the Appalachian Trail, later on Cincinnati Edition. First, Founders and Famous Families, Cincinnati. It's the new book from local author Wendy Hart Beckman. Wendy is here in the studio to talk with me about the book and all the famous families and names included. Wendy, welcome to Cincinnati Edition.
Thanks, Mark.
Full disclosure, I have known and been acquainted with Wendy for a number of years, and we have chided each other on numerous occasions and may continue to do so today. So, full disclosure right there as it goes along. But this is your seventh book of nonfiction. Why focus on founders and famous families?
Well, actually, I came upon this book by just a nice stroke of fortune. I heard that a publisher was looking for a local writer to write a book about the founding families of Cincinnati. And so I submitted some clippings, my resume, and a couple of my other nonfiction books to the editor down in Alabama. And the editor then went out and bought all my other books. And
wow.
Yeah, I was impressed at that, that he could find them. And I was chosen to write this book. And I was told at the time that they intend to do this similar kind of book for other major cities across the country. And the publisher, Clarissy Press, is in Alabama, although their owner, Keen Communications, is just over the river in Covington.
Right. I was going to say, there is that local connection.
Yeah, though. There is a local connection. So I was kind of surprised at that to find out, oh, ho. And the reason they want a local writer doing this is so that the person has some kind of underlying knowledge of the area and isn't a stranger to it. So that you would know whether a family really is an important family to the area or whether it's just a name that you find, but really the people didn't do anything or they're really not local. For example, one example of that is in one of the sidebars I have on the Cincinnati confectionery families.
Mm-hmm.
Esther Price is all over the place, right?
Right. And but most people would say Dayton.
Well, yeah. And Esther Price herself was from Dayton, but it was bought out by a Cincinnati group of guys, and so now it is a Cincinnati company. So you could think of it as a Dayton company originally, but now it's Cincinnati. So I put her in the book.
I wanted to ask, and you do explain in the introduction, but I wanted you to share with listeners, how do you develop the guideline for who to include, or, you know, who would qualify for Founders and Famous Families, Cincinnati?
Yeah, I'm really glad you asked that question, because it was difficult. I was at first overwhelmed thinking, holy cow, how do I eliminate some of these families? So I decided that the families had to have multiple generations that contributed to Cincinnati in some way. And then I thought they needed to have some kind of impact in multiple areas, like not just business. And so I thought of several areas like business, sports, health, philanthropy, retail, consumer goods, that kind of stuff. And so then I also wanted families that were important to Cincinnati, but if they also had some kind of effect nationally, that was really icing on the cake. And even at that, I had way more families than I could possibly cover. So just setting those down as my criteria gave me more than enough families to choose from.
So you had a lot of editing to do, is that what you're saying?
Oh,
when
yeah.
You decided to do it?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Well, as I read Founders and Famous Family Cincinnati, I imagined as a writer that you had to have one heck of an organizational chart. Because as always, reading and seeing how all these families are founders and people were intertwined.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Intermarried, all sorts of
aspects. If you just look at the Proctors and the Gambles, and then the Gambles and the Nipperts and the Dieterlees and all those families. And it's kind of funny because the Proctors and the Gambles first came together because the William Proctor and James Gamble married sisters, but Proctor and Gamble were competitors until their mutual father-in-law basically said, "Hey guys, you're being stupid. You're competing against each other. Why didn't you two go into business together?" And it took him 2 years until he could finally convince the two men to join forces and stop competing against each other. So they finally did. But he was a wise man to convince Mr. Norris convinced the two to join forces.
I chuckled when I read that story.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't realize they were such rivals to begin with. Fascinating. I'm speaking with Wendy Hart Beckman, the author of the book Founders and Famous Families Cincinnati, a book available in bookstores right now. If you are a member of a family, was one of the founders of Cincinnati, we'd like to hear from you. Or who do you think played a key role in making Cincinnati what it is today? We'll see if Wendy included that name in this book. Let us know by calling 513-419-7100. Email talk at WVXU.org, or you can post on the WVXU Facebook page or send us a tweet. And I wanted to say that, you know, right off the beginning, all these names that you've included in this book, I had heard before or seen before on buildings and streets. Mm-hmm. And I imagine it was quite trying to try to sort it all out and decide who should be in the founders and famous families.
Oh, yeah. And that's one of the cool things as I was researching this, just as I dug deeper, seeing, oh, well, I've seen that name on the street all the time, but I didn't know who that was until I found out who some of these people were. Some of the names, like Holmes Hospital, Christian Holmes had this vision for a hospital where anybody could get treated. His brother-in-law was Julius Fleischman, who was the first Jewish mayor of Cincinnati and the youngest mayor of Cincinnati at 21.
Wow.
Now, I have a 21-year-old son.
You would not want him to be mayor of Cincinnati, I imagine.
Nothing personal, Christopher, if you're listening. But, yeah, I'm not thinking he would be a good mayor at this point. So, again, you know, most of us have heard of the Fleischmans, and we think of Fleischman yeast.
Of course.
But they also were big in, of course, the distilling process, and they were also known for their baking and their vodka. So we think of Cincinnati as being a big beer town, but we were also a big vodka place, and we were also a big winery, thanks to Nicholas Longworth.
That's right, and the Catawba Vine. Mm-hmm. You quote Longsworth by
Henry Wadsworth Longfellow.
Longfellow. Yeah, quite a few times in his poem about Catawba wine inspired by Cincinnati.
Uh-huh, yeah. And actually, that was an interesting thing I bring up in there, the nickname of the Queen City, you know, and how many nicknames we have. We were called the Queen City before Longfellow, you know, with Longworth and Longfellow. I keep getting them mixed up.
Yeah, that's what I was doing too.
Yeah, I thought so. Yeah, yeah. Before Longfellow referred to us as the Queen City of the West, we had been referred to as the Queen City, but it was Longfellow's poem that really made that take off. And that's the one that has really stuck over the years. I think we kind of like being the Queen City. But
even if St. Louis tries to steal it from us, too.
I know. That's nasty people.
Stick with the gateway to the West.
Yeah, I know. Just keep your gateway. Nicholas Longworth was given the Catawba vine, the grapes, by a botanist whose name was Adlam, I think it was. And he then grew his grapes and perfected that process of making the Catawba wine, and he shipped off a case of it to Longfellow, who then wrote the poem, which is quite enjoyable. We shouldn't really pat ourselves on the back too much. Longfellow wrote a lot of poems in honor of various liquors and
spirits,
shall we say. And The vineyards ended up rotting. There was a bad problem with black rot and mildew, and so they inevitably failed toward the end of Longworth's life.
Right, and that's why we're not known for our wine as much as we are for our beer.
Exactly. Bingo. Yeah.
Wendy Hart Beckman, author of Founders and Famous Families Cincinnati, a new book looking at the roots of the Queen City. Who do you think played a key role in making Cincinnati what it is today? You can call us at 513-419-7100. Thomas from Sharonville, you're on the air with Wendy Beckman.
Good afternoon, Wendy. How are you?
Great. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. One of the people I think seems underrepresented in the city's history is John Houck. And, you know, his family down through Lewis Houck, Mr. Cincinnati, had a lot of their thumbprints all over the city, and even out here in Sharonville with the Houck Mansion and things like that. Is he in your book?
Yeah, I do mention him briefly when I talk about the beers, the brewers. He was in the chapter on spirits. And I mention a few of his relatives. I didn't go into much depth on him because there were just so many people in the same category that he was. But I agree with you. He is often underrepresented in the documentation of Cincinnati and its history.
Well, good to...
Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was going to say, it's good to point that out. I did remember seeing his name, and yes, I believe he's underrepresented, too. It's amazing what he did for the Cincinnati area.
There's one thing that I wonder if Wendy could validate or not. I've that at one point, either John Houck or a member of his family wrote to the Cincinnati Zoo for $125,000 when the zoo was facing closure due to insolvency. Did you... hear anything about that?
Yes, I believe he did. He was one of the smaller donors, so he tends to be in the, you know, on the backstage, because some of the ladies of Cincinnati stepped forward with bigger gifts, but he was one of the ones who did jump in and contribute to the zoo.
Well, thank you for your call, Thomas. I appreciate it. I'm talking about John Houck and other founders and famous families. Cincinnati, you can be part of the conversation at 419-7100. Carrie emailed here, Wendy, and says, has been looking for info on her relative, Langhorne Anderson, a founder of Coney Island. Is that someone that you may have run across?
Gosh. No, I did not run across that name, unfortunately.
Well, sorry, Carrie, but we might be one. I will say that in the back of the book, you do ask for a reader's response because you... feel new as soon as this came out, Wendy, that there might be somebody who felt left out.
I do. And I would recommend, too, familysearch.org was an interesting website. And unfortunately, I found it too interesting at times. when, for example, Nicholas Roosevelt was the first person to ride a steamboat all the way down the Ohio to New Orleans. And... he and Robert Fulton, who is a relative of mine, worked together to make that happen. And he is a relative of Teddy Roosevelt. And I wanted to be able to say in the book what that relationship was. Unfortunately, you know how when you get in a family, how you tend to name kids after old Uncle Clem.
Right.
So I got into familysearch.org and I was looking at the Nicholas Roosevelt, Teddy Roosevelt connection, and I found I ended up spending like 12 hours just for what amounted to one sentence in the book.
Really?
And I thought, why am I spending this amount of time? But it's fascinating.
Wendy Hart Beckman talking about Founders and Famous Families Cincinnati, her new book available where books are sold. You can learn more about it at our website, wvxu.org. Bill from Camp Denison has a question for you, Wendy. Bill, you're on Cincinnati Edition.
Well, good afternoon to both of you. And Wendy, with your last name, I assume it's a married name, but are you related to the famous Beckman family of Cincinnati?
Yes, you're right on both counts. It is a married name, and when I entered into the Beckman family, I had a little black notebook, and I had to memorize all the Beckman connections. And it's kind of funny because when one time we were in vacation up in Michigan, where many of the Beckmans vacation, and I asked them if they would take an out-of-town check, and the cashier at this little grocery store said, "Which Beckman are you?" And I said, "Well, Vincent and Paul Beckman had a cousin named Gene Beckman, and his son was Mark Beckman, and that's my father-in-law." And she said, "Okay, I'll take your check."
Well, of course, Vincent Beckman is well known, I believe. Correct me if I'm wrong. I think he was chair of the Democratic Party of Hamilton County at one time, but a very well-known and accomplished attorney.
Mm-hmm.
And his brother, John Beckman, was a well-known Jesuit
mm-hmm.
who actually enabled me to go through Jesuit education, which helped my life and career a great deal. I'm wondering about the Barrett family. Did you mention the Barrett family in your book?
I mentioned them very briefly. Part of that was because of my criterion that I wanted many generations. And so they didn't have, and as I mentioned earlier, there were so many people, they didn't have quite as many generations as other families. I actually have a picture of Fran Barrett in the book. But I didn't go into as much detail talking about the Barrett families. And I do appreciate your mentioning Father Jack Beckman. He was I really loved Father Jack Beckman. And I'm glad to hear that he enabled your Jesuit education. So I've heard from some people that he put a stop to their Jesuit education by removing them from St. X High School.
Well, thanks for your call. Greatly appreciate it. On to Gary from Montgomery. We're talking to Wendy Hart Beckman, the author of Founders and Famous Families Cincinnati, and we're asking about who you think has played a key role in making Cincinnati what it is today. Gary, you're on the air.
Yes. My great-grandfather was Thomas Harvey in the Harvey Uniform Company. They made uniforms for the Union Army during the Civil War, and he had five daughters and a son. My grandmother was born in 1875. One of her sisters was married to an artist at Cincinnati, artist, a guy named Charles Mirror. And a couple of his paintings hang in the Art Museum at one of the National Galleries. I knew very little about him. My mother would tell me stories when I was a kid, and that's about the extent of it. But I knew he owned the Harvey Uniform Company.
Hmm.
Huh.
Is that a lead you follow? I don't remember seeing that name in your book.
No, none of that is in my book, but that's very interesting. So if you get my book, put that down on the back page and send it in to me.
Well, thank you, Gary. Yes, again, in the book, Founders and Famous Families Cincinnati, they do ask for a reader's response that you can send an email or contact the publisher and let them know about who may have been left out, and you can find a link to get the book on our website, wvxu.org. Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Can you say who's the most famous family or founder, Wendy? I know that's difficult. As I went through your book, I was trying to think about who really leaped out, but so many people contributing so many things at so many different times.
Yeah, it would depend on whether you're thinking who's the most famous in town or the most famous from a national point of view. One of the first names that pops into my mind is the Tafts,
mm-hmm.
because there were so many generations of Tafts. And in the United States, it doesn't get much bigger than being the president. And of course, we had William Howard Taft, who was known as Lub to his friends, L-U-B. But interestingly enough, he felt that his biggest and best role was as the Supreme Court Justice. He was Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. And he often ate as a result of being unhappy. And so that's why, while in office as the President of the United States, his weight ballooned because he was so unhappy. And when he was made Supreme Court Justice, he lost weight because he was much happier. Well, he was just one of many Tafts. And his sons did many important things, and his brothers did many important things. Charles Phelps Taft is one of his older brothers, was a publisher of the Cincinnati Times-Star, Another brother, Horace Dutton Taft, ran a school for boys in Connecticut. If you look down many generations of Tafts, another Robert Taft voted against the draft because he was against it, and then something like a couple days later, Pearl Harbor was bombed. That became a moot point. And I know Anna Taft, who is the daughter of our former Governor Taft, has started her own nonprofit and commutes between three different countries. And she's just a young woman who's probably maybe 30, 33 years old. So I would say probably the Taft family.
Founders and Famous Family Cincinnati with Wendy Hart Beckman on Cincinnati Edition. Laura from Hyde Park, you're on Cincinnati Edition. You have a family or a founder for us?
Yes. Hi to both of you. I actually moved to Marymount 2 years ago and had to go back to Chicago. But I was really interested in Mary Emery and all the things she has done for Cincinnati.
And yes, the Emerys do pop up in your book here, Wendy.
Oh, yeah. In fact, I have a whole chapter that I called The Leading Ladies because I felt that there were a handful of ladies, including Mary Emery, whose nickname was Guppy, who just played such an important role in Cincinnati. And Mary Emery's husband died fairly young and left her basically millions of dollars. And so she, having no children, then spent that money on Cincinnati, the city she loved so much.
Well, thank you very much.
Right, and I really appreciated Marymount. So
it's a great little village.
And it's nice, and I know in the book, Wendy, you even make sure that everybody knows the proper way to say
yes.
Marymount.
Marymount. Yes.
Thanks for your call, Laura. Thank you very much. Jeannie from Clifton, you also had a question mentioning the Emerys, but, I lost her right there.
No.
We're talking Founders and Famous Families Cincinnati with Wendy Hart Beckman. And what surprised you the most is you said you had too much to put in the book, but as you went along, many of the stories in the book I had heard before and knew a little bit about. I learned more from reading the book. But what did you find that you found surprising as you were doing your research?
I did not know that Nicholas Longworth at one point was the richest man in America.
Really?
Yeah. And owned more land than anyone else in America. He evidently was a very shrewd businessman. He was a lawyer. He came here to be a clerk for Judge Burnett. He just had a keen eye for a business deal. And he was a very smart scientist. In fact, the botanist John Adlam, who gave him the first Catawba grapes, said once that if you threw Nicholas Longworth in the Ohio River, he would come up holding a new species of fish and a freshwater pearl in the other hand. So I was just amazed at how talented that man was and how talented and smart his offspring were. I also felt it was important in the book to represent the fact that white people didn't discover Cincinnati, that there were other people here. There had been Native peoples here, but when the white people, the European Americans, showed up from New Jersey, there weren't very many Native Americans here because they had kind of scattered. So this area was kind of uninhabited for quite a while.
Jeannie, who we were trying to talk to just a moment ago, has called back. Jeannie, you're on Cincinnati Edition. You had a question that included something about the Emery family, but you also had some others you were wondering about.
Hi. I actually was calling. Wendy, thank you for your work, by the way. It's a lot to do.
Thank you.
I am connected with a family that employed Stephen Foster, the Irwin and Foster Steamboat Commissioners that employ him, and they are also the Irwin family. I wanted to know if you found any references to them. They are married into the Harrison and Finleys when they all lived downtown Cincinnati before the Civil War.
I did find some references to them, but I did not include them in the book because they didn't fit my criteria. And as I mentioned earlier, I had so many other stronger contenders. It sounds like it's a competition, doesn't it? American Gladiators. So I did find some references, but I ended up not being able to fit them in the book. And I did enjoy reading about Stephen Foster and what songs he wrote while he was here. And of course, another famous person, Mark Twain, lived here for a while. The brother of John Wilkes Booth was here when Booth assassinated Lincoln. His brother was in town, and that's where he found out that his brother had shot the president. So there were a lot of famous people who spent some time in, and I think everybody has spent some time in Cincinnati at some point.
Cool. Well, thank you, Jeannie.
It was Stephen Foster's brother who did live here, and that's how he got employed here.
Wow.
But the legacy without the continuum of generations, I understand how you broke it down and used your criterion.
Well, I think she might have to stretch that a little, Jeannie. We'll see how it goes. But thank you for your call.
Thank you.
We've been speaking with Wendy Hart Beckman, the author of Founders and Famous Families, Cincinnati. She will be at the Cincinnati Museum Center on May 28th to discuss and sign her new book. It begins at 7 o'clock and is free, though you'll have to pay for parking. More about that event and the book, Founders and Famous Families, Cincinnati, available where books are sold and through a link at our website, wvxu.org. Thank you, Wendy. Pleasure as always.
Thanks, Mark. Same here.
The story of the first woman to thru-hike the Appalachian Trail, next on Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.